This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
On Sports Saturday, we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. And we have reached playoff pairing day for high school football. The IHSA will announce the playoff pairings tonight. We'll have the Road to Champaign for you Monday night, 7:03 here on FM 106. We'll have our playoff broadcast schedule. We'll be talking to our area coaches who are playoff bound. They'll have their film study and be ready to go and
rocking and rolling.
Give us the details.
That's right. That's right. Because there will be massive conflicts tonight because many internet sites will crash.
As we experienced.
As we've experienced. And other people around the entire nation who follow the football playoffs have experienced as well. So
we won't know till later on this evening what the matchups are. We do know, though, the 256 teams that will be in. 36 was the magic number for playoff points this year. And locally, South Fork, in by the skin of their chin, 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 they were the second to last team to punch their ticket.
The Ponies. Mm. The Ponies make it. Wow.
Of course, they beat Pawnee earlier in the year.
Yeah, they did. They did. That's, you know, and that was the turning point of the season for them right there. So,
joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the playoff-bound Carthenville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And, Chad, I know you just absolutely love to dive into all this playoff stuff and try to get into the mind of the IHSA.
Yeah, a little bit of sarcasm there. Sure. You know, you guys know I do it one time. We did it this week a little bit, and there's just a lot of variables out there right now, and there's still games that have to be played today. So it's definitely going to be interesting this evening.
Chad, obviously the South Central lines up with 3-8-1 teams with you guys, Pena, and Vandalia. So how will that work out for conference champion representation in the playoffs?
Well, I think it goes, the tiebreaker went down to points allowed or points allowed against the other two opponents. So I think we, if I haven't figured right, that we're quote unquote the outright bid for the IHSA. But that doesn't really equate to much because the IHSA holds no count in terms of seeding, in terms of your, if you're the conference champion or not. The conference champion simply means you're going to the playoffs as an outright bid rather than being a record bid. So, and after that, it gets pretty complicated on what they're thinking versus how you interpret it.
Well, Chad, you guys finished 8-1 on the year. As you sit back now, the day after the regular season is over and before you know what you'll be doing playoff-wise, how would you assess your season?
Well, I'll tell you what, it went pretty much as we had planned. You know, we were able to, I thought our kids did a good job of handling subbing and our two-player systems that we talked about in the preseason. So we had a little hiccup with Pena, which turned out to be a good thing for us because we got to share the conference title. I think we learned a lot of things from that. So, you know, overall, very pleased with our depth, and we came out of the season healthy, which is always a big thing that everyone's concerned about.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Let's talk about last night's game. You put 65 points on Litchfield in the victory, and I guess in a perfect world, you maybe would like a little bit more of a competitive game for the last week of the regular year.
Yeah, you know, some coaches like it. Some maybe want a lesser opponent, maybe. I don't know. You know, that's just how our schedule is, and it is what it is. So, you know, I thought we'd come out in the first quarter, quarter and a half, and executed things well, had a good game plan, stuck to it. I thought, you know, Litchfield kids played very, very hard. I know the coach, I talked to him before the game, talked about numbers being an issue over there. You know, I never saw a kid quit, and I was very happy to see that for any program that's trying to be up and running.
And when it comes down to high school football, the effort always has to be there. You only get to play, you're only guaranteed 9 games.
Well, I say the same sentence at week 9 every year. You know, as a football coach, I get to do this stuff every year, and I'm kind of like a kid in a candy store, and I try to explain to the freshman that starts and the senior that ends that, you know, there are X amount of chances in your lifetime to do these types of things. If you enjoy them, you need to take advantage of them every year. So, you know, it's a great feeling, and like I said, we played some young kids. I thought they executed well in terms of our program, so I was very proud of the whole effort last night.
Chad, I highly doubt you get into ranking the teams you've had at Carlinville, but from where I sit, this is one of the best teams you've had. The Brendan Stewart senior-led team a few years back is on the short list, and I think this team is right there.
Yeah, I think as you look back through my tenure here, or 9 years or whatever it is, you know, this is definitely in the top five, top three. Brendan's group was pretty good. We had 14 seniors that year. Job's group was pretty good with 14 to 15. This group's got 15. Of the three, you know, we always say that defense carries you the farthest, and this is one of the groups that have put a good stamp on defense. I think we've only allowed, 5.9 points, 6 points a game, I think, for the season. So, you know, it's been an emphasis on us, and, you know, they've done a great job.
And to do what you guys want to do in the playoffs, it will be the defense that will get you there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You know, we've been in the second round four straight years, so to speak, and if you look back and you evaluate and you be critical of yourself and your program, we've lacked in that area, and that's why we started the season with that being an emphasis, and it's kind of held its constant throughout the season, and hopefully we can continue. You know, carry that on into the postseason, and you know that all comes down to this draw tonight, and how they view it, and how we view it. And there's a lot of 8-1 teams that have a chance of being in 3A, and some I guarantee you, before the night's over, some 8-1 is going to play some other 8-1. I just have that feeling.
No, well, that's not a good feeling, Chad.
Yeah, I know. There's just too many of us. I mean, the Sangamo's got 3 8-1s, great teams up there. We got 8-1s in the South Central. Fairfield down there, those guys, I'm 8-1. So, I mean, there's going to be a bracket, and if they stick to 1 through 16, it won't take long if you go 1 through 16, 2 to 15, that you run out of people, the bodies to start sticking in spots. So,
and aren't you glad you don't have to pick the brackets?
Yes. I tell you what.
The task is overwhelming, I would think, with 256 teams.
You know, it is. And I've never been up there and set through it, and I know that's not even an option for us as coaches to do, but, you know, a lot of coaches complain a lot and all that, but, you know, I'm a science and math guy. I got a left brain. I mean, I can just only imagine. I mean, obviously coming up with the 256 is simple. I mean, that's a numbers thing. You got X amount at this point, X amount at this point. And then as you go through the rest, it's just, I think it would be a hard formula to have. And you know, then some coaches want power rankings, and, man, then it goes crazy. But, you know, I'm really happy with the IHSA because none of the tiebreakers are ever about the points you score or a point that you allow for your seed. Now, it is for the conference championships, but, you know, I'm happy with that because of, you know, sometimes when you get in games and you try to play kids and it doesn't work out the way you want, you know, I'm very proud of them that they stick to their guns with that sort of thing.
And the thing about the IHSA football playoffs is that you have to earn your way in, and that makes it just that much more special, you know, not just everybody can get in. You have to really earn your way in.
Yeah, you know, I coached basketball for a while, and it's the basketball coaches, and they always compare the two. And I've always said being in the first round of the playoffs is very similar to being in a regional championship game because you had to work to get there. You know, week one is just as important as week nine, as you just said. And I know they talked a few years ago about eliminating that in a game and having everyone get in, and I'm not a proponent of that. I think there's a lot of strategy that goes into your season and your schedule and the preparation that applies to that that's very unique about football that makes it different than other sports.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chad, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Congratulations on a great regular season. We will talk to you Monday on the road to Champaign, sir.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
All right. Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, finishing 8-1, and we've always said the same thing, Terry. If you win that first-round playoff game, that's like winning a regional in any other sport.
Actually, I'm going to revise that, Tim. I think if you make the playoffs, it's like winning a regional tournament, simply because only 256 teams out of the whole state of Illinois get an opportunity to participate. So if you make the playoffs, you've already won a regional tournament, if you're trying to compare it to basketball. It just, you know, it's just so hard. You only get 9 weeks to the football season, you know, and football's a sport which is unpredictable because one night you look like world beaters and the next night you can't hold on to the football. You're dealing with injuries. You're dealing with crazy weather a lot of times. Just a lot of the variables that you cannot control. And if you can put together a great season and earn, you know, Carlinville's you know, they're going to be at home for their first playoff game. Let's face it, they should be. They're the conference champions. It's you've already won a regional tournament, so it's a great thing.
They might not be if they're playing another 8-1
team. Well, I guess that's a possibility.
You would think, like Chad
was saying, before the night's over, he thinks some 2 8-1s are going to match up. Maybe that, let's hope it's not them.
It's entirely possible with just the 3 8-1 teams in the South Central and the 3 in the Sangamo, and they're all lumped kind of in the same class size.
That's true, and you're talking about basically making quadrants out of the state, so. And I guess that's a distinct possibility. So.
We always talk about the draw being so
important.
It is. And if you're 8-1 and you draw an 8-1 in the first round, that is not good. That is not good.
It'd almost be, can we play 2 out of 3,
Not just that, but how do you feel being an 8-1 team on the road?
That's the thing, you're 8-1.
You almost should have a neutral site game.
Well, and maybe the... Maybe that's something.
No, I don't think so.
I just don't think like that idea. I think the schools should definitely be the hosts, because this is part of what makes the football playoff special. When you get thousands and thousands of people, especially once you get beyond the first round or two, and you're really deep into the playoffs. You've got that crisp fall air. You've got thousands of people. You got confetti flying all over the place. You got the bands playing. It's just something special.
And the way that the IHSA sets it up, if you do have to go on the road in the first week and you win, you're probably going to get a home game in the second round. So it probably all evens out at the end of the day. We need to get to a break here.
There's a method to the madness with the IHSA. Even though it looks a little jumbled up at times, they do have a system.
There's a reason other states watch what the IHSA does.
Yeah. You're right.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll talk to the head coach of the playoff-bound Hillsboro Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. We do that following these messages.
9:18 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Toe.
All right, thank you very much, David Jenkins. We're going to catch up with Aaron Duff in just a moment. Also, we'll have Shane Owsley on the way, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. Dave Kane also coming up later in the hour from the State Journal Register in Springfield.
We may have a little extended time today.
If need be.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. It was almost extended time last night up at Marrora. What a ball game in the Sangamo Conference. North Mac and Marrora Forsyth. The Trojans beat the Panthers last night 27-19, but that's a ball game. Even though it was an 8-point spread, it was a lot closer and a lot tighter even than the final score would indicate. And to me, Terry, North Mac, even though they lost, probably didn't play anywhere close to their best game. To me, they showed exactly how good they really are going into that type of environment against that type of team, and to battle like they did, had a chance in the fourth quarter to take the lead.
Well, making a clean run through the conference is tough to do in a Sangamo conference, in a South Central conference. It's just tough to do. And you're playing a team that has had a storied history, Marrora Forsyth, and here they come into the Sangamo conference. And as you pointed out just before we went on the air, how fantastic the atmosphere was at Marrora Forsyth High School. It is quite the event. North Mac, as Chad mentioned, what do you learn from your losses? You learn more oftentimes from your losses than you do from your wins. So, I don't think that North Mac losing the ball game was necessarily a bad thing. They probably learned quite a bit, and you're wanting to prepare and have that sort of opponent the week before the playoffs start. I'm a proponent of having that last game being a toughie going into the playoffs. I always think that's a great idea, no matter the sport. I just think it's a terrific way to get into the playoffs. So.
And those three,
your mindset is different.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And those 3 8-1 teams in the Sangamo, North Mac, Marrora Forsyth, and Williamsville, look out for all of them.
Yeah. The Sangamo has traditionally been one of those conferences where teams go deep and ranked teams go very deep sometimes. So,
and we've seen it over the years too, where we've had a lot of South Central versus Sangamo matchups early in the playoffs. So it'll be very interesting tonight to see if the draws work out that way.
I suspect we're probably going to see that again. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Auburn's in.
The Trojans are in. How about that? Our buddy Dave Bates and,
Very similar to last year.
Yeah. And 2 years in a row for something like what happened last year, that's not likely, obviously. But, you know, you kind of had the feeling Auburn was going to put it together and get into the playoffs. I don't know. You know, they struggled there and kind of in the middle part of the season, but I just kind of had the feeling that Auburn was going to make the playoffs. So.
And they did with their win last night. North Mac, of course, they knew they were on their way to the playoffs heading in to last night's game at Maroro Forsyth. Joining us right now is the head coach of North Mac, Shane Owsley. And, Coach, good morning, sir. Thanks for a few minutes of your time.
No problem. Good morning to you guys.
Well, Shane, I just said a moment ago that last night, even though you guys probably didn't play your best game, to me, you showed how good your football team really is with the way that you guys battled in that ball game last night.
They did, and we kind of knew going in that if we didn't play four quarters that it was going to be very difficult for us to win. And I think we had a very rough first quarter. I don't know if it was, the surroundings or the atmosphere or, you know, just kind of the pressure of kind of, you know, wanting to go 9-0. And we just didn't play very well the first half. And we let them up to a 14-3 lead kind of going into the half. And I thought second half we played much better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're playing a team of that caliber, you can't give them a one-half lead and expect to come back from that.
I don't know what type of adjustments you guys made at halftime, but it seemed noticeable watching the game that when you guys came out of that locker room, your offensive line, they were dislodging people.
Well, and I think the big thing was is we started trusting each other a little bit more. That was one of the things as we watched them on film is that we understood that we were going to have to do our job and our job only and kind of trust our teammates to do theirs. And there were some situations in the first half where I think some of our guys are trying to do too much. And I think we finally got them calmed down a little bit. I think they realized that, you know, we played a really poor first half and we were still in the ball game. So I think our guys kind of realized that they could play with those guys. And I mean, I think for the second half, for the most part, they did.
And I guess looking back at it now, Shane, that opening drive of the third quarter, I think you had 14 plays but came up with no points.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big one, and then we also had one where the snap went over their quarterback's head, and we recovered it in the very next play. You know, we cough one up and give it right back. So, momentum's a great thing when it's on your side, but it could be taken from you pretty quickly. And, you know, to have a 14-play drive and not come up with any points, or then you have the big momentum swing and to give it right back, those are just things you can't do against a good team.
And when you get into a situation where you know you're going into the playoffs, this is the kind of team you want to meet in the last game of a regular season to kind of get your mindset ready for the playoffs. And even though you lost, you probably learned more or as much from that loss than you did any other game during the season.
Well, I hope so. You know, like I said, I was kind of talking to Dave Kane from SJR after the game, and he kind of said the same thing, and my response was, you know, I don't know because we've never been in this situation, you know, in the past 2 years. You know, last year, you know, our first loss came to Tolono, and we didn't have any opportunity to come back and play again. So, you know, if you saw our guys after the game, we had some pretty upset kids, and, you know, I had to quickly remind them that, you know, our season is not over. We wanted to go undefeated, and that was a situation that where we're no longer going to be able to do that, but we're either going to have to, pick ourselves up a little bit and realize and refocus that, you know, the important season starts now. Or, like I told them last night, we can sit there and feel sorry for ourselves and make a very early exit in the playoffs. So it's a job that my coaching staff, like I said, fortunately has not had to deal with very often, and we're going to have to get our kids turned around and focused on another high-quality opponent that we'll be seeing this coming week.
Yeah, it's all about perspective, and obviously didn't go undefeated, but you still got the conference championship a share, and your main goal is still squarely in front of you playing on the turf for the second time.
Well, and that's what we kind of told the kids. You know, last night, obviously, we didn't get the result that we wanted, but we also didn't really lose anything either. You know, we still have a share of a conference title, which, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, if you would have told them that we would have had to share a conference title, I think most of the people in North Mac land would have been perfectly okay with that. So it says a lot about the expectations and just how quality our program has become that now all of a sudden we have people crying on the field because we only got a share. So as a coach, that's exciting to see. And like I said, it's going to be up to the coaching staff and it's going to be up to our kids to realize, hey, you know, we'll take a share in a conference, and in my eyes, one of the best small school conferences in the state of Illinois. And like I said, we still have an opportunity to go a long way. We just got to make sure our heads are right.
And Shane, you know, let's hope that the season continues on for several weeks for the North Mac Panthers. But this sort of expectation does a great job of reselling the program to the younger kids to keep the program viable.
It does. And, you know, it's a situation where, you know, it develops down into our JFL program where now we can kind of talk to those guys and kind of do what we're doing. And, you know, and they're seeing a lot of success. We had a back-to-back sixth grade JFL champion this year. We had an eighth grade that played in the JFL championship. So, you know, winning is truly contagious. And I think if you're doing things the right way, you're treating people the right way, and you've got your expectations high, then you've got kids that want to work and live up to those expectations, because nobody ever wants to let other people down. So it's exciting to kind of see the turnaround that's happening right now, and I think it's something that not only our kids are buying into, but, you know, our school, our community, and the fans. So it's a very exciting time in North Mac.
North Mac head coach Shane Owsley joining us here on Sports Saturday. And, Shane, there was a play last night you don't often see at any level of football, let alone high school football. You're down 14-3. You try a field goal. It gets blocked, but it crosses the line of scrimmage. Maroor Forsythe picks it up, and then I think it was Grant Graham with an incredibly heads-up play to go knock the ball out, pick it up, got you guys the possession back. Just talk about the heady type of play that was.
Yeah, it was extremely intelligent. I was over there going crazy on the sidelines because a few years back I was actually on the Carlinville staff where we attempted a long field goal and it didn't cross the goal line, and Auburn
that.
Picked it up, yeah. and ran it far. So I'm going crazy on the sideline letting them know it's a live ball. And of course, Grant Graham, who's been, father was a coach, brothers are coaches. You know, he probably knows just as much about football as anybody else that was probably in the stands there. So, you know, I was watching on film last night, the kid was just standing there holding the ball and Grant just very calmly walked up and knocked it out of his hands and dove on it. So, that was a huge momentum thing there as well. So, yeah, you know, it's very, very important sometimes not to be the best athlete on the field, but, if you know the game, sometimes you can get by with that. And luckily we had a good officiating crew that took care of it, met together, got it figured out, and ended up paying dividends for us.
Little Leon Lett moment there, yeah. For
absolutely.
Shane, have you looked at potential scenarios? I mean, at 8-1, I can't believe you won't be at home in the first round.
I've been looking at them since about 1:30 this morning. Unfortunately,
did you sleep last night, Shane?
I think I did have my eyes closed for a little bit. I was back up at about 5:30 this morning looking at them. And unfortunately, there's so many 8-1s in the South. It's basically a random coin flip or a random computer draw, so they say. So, you know, I've had us figured up all the way to playing a 5-4 to also possibly playing another 8-1. So it's kind of all over the map. And I just hope, and I know I've talked to the other Sangamo Conference coaches, that we hope they draw it up and spread us out so we're not beating on each other again. We would always like the opportunity to kind of show off our conference, and if you constantly are seeing each other in round one and round two, you don't get that opportunity. So whatever it is, we're hoping they go back a little bit and let the playoffs be what they're supposed to meant to be by traveling all over the state and seeing teams and programs that you haven't seen. So that's kind of our hope.
Absolutely. Shane, will you guys have a team function tonight to watch the pairings released?
We will. We're going to meet at North Mac High School in the cafeteria. I told the kids to be there, and we're gonna watch it as a group. And then I quickly told them they're going to have to leave because I have to get on the phone and get on Huddle and see what kind of film we can find in as quick as amount of time as possible.
Time to go. Go home, fellas.
Shane Allison, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings here throughout the season, and we will talk to you on Monday night on the road to Champaign, sir.
It sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, Shane Owsley. His first regular season loss last night as North Mac head coach.
You know, and it was going to happen eventually.
Oh, absolutely, but it just tells you how dominant they've been.
I love his comment. You know, we got guys crying, you know, because of one loss and then not going through the season perfectly and you know, a perfect season. And it's just that program has made the turn now. And
it's building up expectations.
Oh, the expectations are high, you know, and as a coach, you know, it's about the program, and it seems to be in place there. And boy, you look at all the dangerous teams that we have from the area. You know, the 8-1 teams that we have, and even the teams that aren't 8-1. There are some pretty doggone good football teams. But I would say if whoever gets North Mac next week, better watch out because they're going to be ticked off.
That's North Mac's dangerous. Yeah.
North Mac is probably the most dangerous team in the area right now because of what happened last night. Not that, you know.
They could have won that
game. They could have won that game. That game got away from them. As Coach Owsley pointed out, poor start and first quarter. Things just didn't go right. And they were still in the game. Yeah. But, you know, you get behind the eight ball against a good team, they're not going to let you back in the game.
We've seen a number of our area teams go to Murrah Forsyth and get blown out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a whooping.
Yeah.
That's two very well-respected coaches now that have said there's a possibility that two 8-1 teams are going to meet up. So this might actually happen.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be, as you would say, Terry, wild, woolly, and full of fleas.
Full of fleas. That's it. That's a HUD line there, I tell you. My goodness gracious, you got 8-1. And, you know, the thing of it is, it's not going to be just a couple of games. It could be a handful, maybe mm-hmm. half a dozen, maybe more than that with these high... you know, these 8-1 teams.
Yeah, but 8-1, two 8-1 teams playing in the first round, and the next round, that 8-1 team winner is facing a 9-0 in the next round.
Yeah, it's just, that's crazy.
It's going to be a heck of a ride to get up to Champaign.
But what does it say about the quality of the playoffs?
Yeah.
When you take a step back and look at all this, you know, there weren't many undefeated teams.
29.
Just 29 in the whole state this year. And, you know, a lot of times there's upwards of 50 undefeated teams in the state. That was not the case this year. So there was a lot of competition in the state this year, a lot of great football teams. So maybe this is the year that 8-1s are going to meet.
Seems like it was similar to last year, because last year I don't know that there were a lot of, obviously no 8-1 teams met, but I don't think there were a lot of undefeated teams last year.
What was the playoff point cutoff this year?
36.
It was 38 last year, wasn't it?
Was it that high? I think it might have been lower.
I thought it was lower.
It was like 34, 35 last year.
Well, I wasn't around last year.
Right.
But I was trying to remember some past conversations.
It was pretty low last year, like 34 or 35.
Because there was a period there for a while where it was close to 40.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like 38, 39, 40. And then last year it was down a little bit. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Dave Kane from the State Journal Register. He was at Murrah last night, took in that ball game. Of course, if you want to know anything about small school athletics, Dave's the man to talk to. We're going to do that following these messages.
9:35 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. And a reminder, coming up this afternoon, Fighting Illini football. They are at Michigan today, going into the Big House, live at 1:30 on 105.3 The Axe. I was thinking about this earlier this morning.
Yes.
There probably has not been too many instances in college football where two Super Bowl coaches square off against each other. Of course, Lovie Smith was there with the Bears. Jim Harbaugh was there with the Niners.
That's interesting.
That can't happen that much.
No. That's we'll have to put the R&D department on that. Research and development.
Yeah, we'll get them on that.
we'll get on that.
Figure it out. But we'll see if Illinois can keep it close today. Michigan, so good.
Oh, yeah.
So powerful. And anytime you're in Michigan, obviously, you're asking for a hurting.
Yeah. And more likely you're going to get it.
But fortunately for Illinois, Rutgers has set the bar so low that you're not going to have the worst beatdown of the year unless you lose 79-0 or worse. I mean, who loses 78-0 at home?
Mm.
At home?
Well,
not even Illinois does that.
Well, you know, you'd probably have a lot of research to do to find a team that would lose that bad. So
obviously a lot of the focus today on the football playoffs, and rightfully so. But the IHSA has so many different things going on right now.
Cross-country regionals are today for both the boys and girls. We've got teams competing at Carlinville, at Robinson, and at Liberty today. And, of course, the winners will move on to sectional competition next weekend. Boys soccer continues to roll along. North Mac and Lincolnwood both won regionals, and they were eliminated in the sectional semifinals at Macon Meridian this past week. So they both had great seasons. I think 13 or 15 wins for North Mac, 18 wins for Lincolnwood. So congratulations to the Panthers and to the Lancers for their regional championships. First ever regional championships in soccer for both schools. So Waterloo-Jabot was the winner last night in 1A. That's no surprise. T-Town is battling for the championship at Meridian High today against Beardstown, and Williamsville's taking on Cornerstone Academy at Champaign-St. Thomas More. So,
all right. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now with Dave Kane, of course, of the Springfield State Journal Register. Great read at all times. Dave, how you doing this morning?
okay, yeah, I feel like I got back from Moroa maybe an hour ago.
Me too.
That's not true, but
I thought you, so,
yeah, you wake up, and you say, "Gee, where was I last night?" Oh yeah, Moroa.
You newspaper guys are used to being outside in the cold. Us radio guys are not. It was a cold night last night.
Yeah, yeah, and really these last couple of nights, you know, it's, we're getting into late October, and you know, I thought about it. You know, when I got over to Moroa, I had gone over there, you know, the first week of preseason practice. It was about 90 degrees, and, you know, talking, you know, they were the new team in the Sangamon, talking to their coach, and 9 weeks later, you know, it was like, you know, 40, you know, in the 40s or whatever. So the 9 weeks go pretty quick.
Dave, that was a great high school football game last night. Just kind of your overall thoughts on that great ball game last night.
It was. You know, as Shane Owsley mentioned, you know, North Mac kind of got off. They kind of dug themselves a little bit of a hole, the 14-3. You know, very early. You know, there were just a few on both teams' sides, a few little mistakes along the way. You know, North Mac's very first series, I don't know if you remember, you know, they started out deep in their own territory, but they, I think they got a couple of first downs. You know, they got into a little rhythm, and then they had a high snap, you know, over the quarterback's head, and, you know, that put them way back there, and they had to punt, and, you know, I think Moroa might have scored after that. So, you know, there were just some little mistakes along the way, and the one, and I think Coach Owsley talked about it again, boy, if there was a, you know, one sort of, I don't want to say turning point, but a pivotal time when, you know, when the North Mac, they had just scored, and then they recovered a high snap, you know, and they were in North Moroa territory, and then they fumbled it right back. And I think Moroa went down and scored. And it was just like, oh, boy, you know, you could just, ugh. It was one of those things. But even then, you know, North Mac battled back. You know, they got down two touchdowns, and they scored really late. You know, it ended up being a, you know, a, essentially a one touchdown game, which is, you know, you kind of went into that game saying, eh, one touchdown game, that's probably what this matchup could be like. So, you know, Moreau gave away some size, but they're very, you know, as you saw, they're very athletic, both defensively and offensively. And I mean, they've been like that for a long time. But, you know, it's, you know, Shane said this is, you know, last year he said we didn't lose, when we lost our first game, we didn't get a chance to come back and play another one. You know, this time, you know, we'll learn from a loss, and the kids are motivated, and we'll have another chance next week. So he said, you know, it'll be key how we respond. And, you know, at least they do have another chance in the second season here.
Dave, you saw obviously a lot of the Sangamon Conference this year. What a powerful league. At one point halfway through the year, half the teams were state ranked.
That's, yeah, yeah, when you think about, you know, I think, you know, when Athens is now in 1A, but yeah, 1A and 2A and 3A and all that, yeah. You know, I mean, it was a very good conference the last couple of years, but I think adding Moroa in there, you know, obviously made it even better this year.
Kind of football royalty there, don't you think, almost?
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, I guess you could put it that way, but that made it, you know, even last year, North Mac going 9-0 was impressive in that conference. Although, you know, last year they all had one non-conference game. I think North Mac beat Chester, I want to say, which was a very good non-conference. But this year, you know, you play a total, you know, nine-game all-conference schedule. And when you had Moroa in there, boy, trying to go unbeaten, you know, running that gauntlet is, I don't want to say it's impossible, but, man, it's awfully tough. So yeah, it's really the last year and now this year even more, one of the best, you know, downstate, you know, kind of 1A, 2A, 3A conferences around.
And oh, by the way, Auburn got in, Dave. And to me, very similar to last year. Obviously 6-3 last year, 5-4 this year, but they had a couple of 1-point losses, a couple of games that were within one score. Auburn, very dangerous.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was very, you know, Dave Bates, you know, a few weeks ago said, boy, this kind of feels like last year where they lost several either 1-point games, last minute games, whatever. And, you know, so they had been through that last year. You know, last year I think they did end up going, I want to say 6-3. This year they're 5-4. They had, you know, they had to win last night at New Berlin. Both teams were 4-4. So that was kind of like a playoff game in week 9, the way it turned out. But, you know, now that Auburn's in there, I mean, their kids, their kids played five extra games last year, you know, so they had that experience from last year, and I think they're going to be 2A, so they'll be, I wouldn't be surprised to see Auburn make another run, even though their record isn't all that impressive.
I mean, they're just one of those teams under debate. If you bet against Auburn, you got to have your mental capacity questioned.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's Dave Bates, and, you know, his coaching staff, several of his assistants have been with him for a long time. So, I mean, it's you know, a veteran crew. They all, you know, they all know what's expected of each other. You know, the kids are very familiar with the coaches. So it's just, you know, from one year to the next, it's just, okay, here we go, another year. And it's, Bill Carlicker has been a long-time defensive coordinator. So, yeah, they've been around the block a few times.
And the thing with Dave is just, you know, there's no panic. It just says, okay, let's take care of this week and we'll worry about next week, okay? And you know, he's been able to do this year after year after year.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, last year, I remember last season where it was like about the third, you know, nail-biter loss they had at the time. They were 1-3 or whatever it was. And Dave was kind of, he wasn't pressing the panic button, but he said, I've never been through anything like this. You know, even he admitted that. But by and large, yeah, he's been through it so many times. He knows there's a lot of ebbs and flows to a high school season, so he rolls with the punches. He knows what to do.
Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register joining us here on Sports Saturday. Kind of a strange year in the sense, Dave, that not very many 9-0 teams, obviously in the South Central and Sangamo, no undefeated teams, but each league has 3 8-1 teams, and we've already heard Shane Owsley say this morning and Chad Easterday say this morning that they are kind of expecting 2 8-1 teams to meet up in the first round.
Well, it's, you know, it is conceivable. I mean, if you look at it geographically, I think Donnie Allen, who's an assistant for North Mac, he even said that before the game last night. He said, boy, there's potentially a lot of 8-1 teams, you know, in this part of the state, you know, that are 3A. In a way you would hate to see that, you know, two outstanding teams maybe having the knockheads in the first round, but just the way the system is, and it is geographic, it might happen. And, you know, if you do survive that first game, then I think one of you guys mentioned earlier, who knows, you might have to go up against a 10-0. I don't know what we'll see, you know, tonight when the brackets are put out, but it'll be interesting that there is that possibility.
Dave, you've been doing this a long time. What is it about the football playoffs that make them so special and different?
Well, I think you guys, again, you talked about it earlier, you know, you do have to earn your way into the playoffs. That's a big part of it. Now, you know, the traditionalists, I wasn't covering the playoffs yet when there were only five classes. You think about earning your way in, my goodness, back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
Hey, sorry, 7-2, you're done.
Yeah.
So back then, boy, you really had to earn it. But even now, I mean, it's not something where everybody can make it. You have to, you know, at least win five games, and even then you have to have enough playoff points. So I think that sets it apart. And, you know, nothing, I love basketball. I love all the other sports where everybody goes into the postseason. But, you know, that part of it, you know, kind of the anticipation, even today, you know, well, oh, we're going to have enough playoff points, all that sort of stuff. So that's part of it. I know a lot of coaches don't like to, you know, run into the same teams they've already played, and I can understand that. But at the same time, if you do have rematches, you know, it can be interesting. The one game I recall, it's been a number of years ago, over the WIVC, Carrollton had an exceptional team coached by Greg Pullman, and they had clobbered Greenfield during the regular season, big rivalry in Greene County. And they met, I think, in the second round in Greenfield. Give Dan Bowman a few weeks of changes in preparation, and he'll figure something out. And Greenfield, you know, knocked off Carrollton. You know, and that's it. Okay, sorry, you know, Carrollton has to call the season. So sometimes those rematches are, you know, make it kind of interesting and exciting to think about. So. But it's just, you know, it's hard to start to believe we're 9 weeks done now and it's time for the playoffs. And, It's just yeah, like you guys said, it's just an exciting time.
Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register, thanks for joining us for a few minutes this morning, sir. Always great to talk to you, and I bet we'll talk again soon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we sure will, and it'll be exciting to see the pairings tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, bye-bye.
Gotta love Dave.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, he's not many people can do what he does.
And, no.
And not many people understands small schools and what the athletic tradition means to small schools. He does a great job of not only bringing that out, but he'll find these little nuggets. Yeah. And include that in his articles.
Oh, his articles are great. I'm not a big Twitter guy, but if you like the Twitter, Dave Kane is a got-to-follow situation. Got to follow Dave Kane on Twitter if you're not already. Very entertaining. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, I think David's got a few things that have happened in the world since the last time the Cubbies won the World Series and got to the World Series, which, by the way, they're going to finish off the Dodgers tonight in Game 6 at Wrigley. Back in a moment.
For those of you playing at home, that was indeed 90 seconds and not 60, but hey, math is hard.
Math? Math? I don't know what math is.
Well,
I'm not a left-brain thinker like Chad Easton.
We're going to have to get Darren Deneve in here. He's a math guy.
He's a math guy.
Unfortunately, Pi Day doesn't fall on a Saturday this year.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. We can just pretend it's Pi Day. That's right.
Every day is Pi Day.
Every day is Pi Day with Darren Deneve. That's right.
Now, it could be party time in Chicago tonight if the Cubbies can get it done.
I think it's going to get done tonight.
I thought whoever won Game 5 would win the series in 6. And obviously the Cubbies blew them out in Game 5, and I think they finish them off tonight.
7-1 will be your final tonight. 7-1.
I don't think Kershaw lasts much beyond three innings, four innings maybe. I think
four
Cubs,
to third.
They're just pounding the ball, and they've got their confidence back, their mojo, whatever you want to call it. They're playing at home. The destiny, karma, whatever you want to call it. The baseball gods, I think, are, Theo Epstein has done so many things well in building this team, and tonight's the night they're going to make it to the World Series against the Cleveland Indians.
How about that,
for goodness sakes.
Wow. So with that in mind, and how about Cleveland? They're so glad the Cavaliers won the title in the NBA because it takes all that type of pressure off of them. The Cubbies, we know their situation, but we certainly feel that by the time we have our next Sports Saturday program a week from now, the Cubs will have clinched the pennant, probably be winning the World Series. So it will be, this is the last opportunity for us to really have some fun at the Cubbies' expense. And David has compiled a list of the top things that happened. Now what, you have a list of?
I have a list of five of the top five things that have happened since the last time the Cubs won the World Series, and then a separate list of five of things that happened the year the last time the Cubs won the World Series, so 1908.
Okay, let's start with the 45 list.
Yeah.
I don't have a 45 list. That was last time they made it to the World Series.
Yes,
Right. I don't have something that happened since 45. I have some stuff that happened since 1908.
Okay, I was confused about your list. Start with the second portion of the
since 1908?
Yeah, there
we
go.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, both radio and TV were invented since 1908.
Oh, boy.
So WSOMI was not on the air when the Cubs won the World Series last time.
Nobody. Nor was anyone else.
KDKA, the first radio station in Pittsburgh that was put on the air, was not on the air.
That's right.
Yeah. Halley's Comet passed Earth twice.
Oh, no.
Every 86 years.
Yeah. 16 U.S. presidents were elected.
Oh, boy. And if it doesn't get done this year, it'll be 17.
That's right. The Titanic was built, set sail, sank, and was rediscovered, and two movies were made about it. So, yeah, there's that. And then one of my personal favorites, flagpoles were erected on Wrigley Field roof to hold all of the team's future World Series pennants, which have since rusted and been taken down.
Oh, no.
They've never won a World Series at Wrigley Field.
No, that's exactly right.
Let's hope they do this year. Let's hope they...
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
I think it would be great. I think it would be great for baseball. I think it would be great for Major League Baseball to finally to have the Cubs win the whole doggone thing and just to have the city of Chicago go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be terrific for baseball.
Oh, you're not wrong. But the fact, since they've had this resurgence here, I like the fact now that as a Cardinals fan, I despise and hate the Cubs. I never really had that with the Cubs before because they were meaningless. Now that they're good, I like it. It's more Yankees, Red Sox now. I'm not rooting for them.
I'm rooting for him. I'm a National League guy, and National League Central guy, so,
Go Tribe, go.
There you go.
I tell you, in 1908, the last time they won the World Series, only 8% of homes had a telephone. Just 14% had a bathtub. Most women only washed their hair once a month and used either egg yolks or borax for shampoo.
That sounds nice.
Wow.
So.
Very nice.
Yeah. In 1908, motorized transportation was also a relatively new thing, and there were only 8,000 cars, 144 miles of paved roads, and the maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles per hour.
Think of that, 144 miles of paved roads.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
90% of all doctors had absolutely no college education in 1908. They attended a pseudo-medical schools, most of which were condemned by the government and press as substandard. So you didn't have to have a college degree to be a doctor back in 1908.
That's nice.
Wow.
That's nice.
The average life expectancy in the country was 47 years back in 1908, and the Eiffel Tower was the world's largest structure.
Wow.
Yeah. And marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter at your local corner drugstore, and pharmacists at the time claimed heroin clears the complexion, gives buoyancy to the mind, regulates the stomach and bowels, and is, in fact, a perfect guardian of health.
I think they said that about a lot of illegal drugs, yeah. Drugs which are now illegal. Yes.
Yeah.
I think they kind of missed the boat on that one. I guess that's what happens when your doctors didn't actually go to medical school.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey.
So that was all in good fun.
What's a piece of paper among friends?
That's right.
It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's right. And it sure feels like, I mean, it's been the year of the Cub, really, since they lost in the last postseason last year. And to be able to go wire to wire like they have, in essence, to have the target on your back from January all the way through the year, that's hard to do.
Tell you what, they're a fun team to watch.
Oh, they are.
They're just fun to watch. Ooh. especially when they're hitting and they're getting the pitching that they've gotten and
they're a great ball club.
Just fun baseball.
They didn't just build a lineup and a rotation. They built a 25-man roster. I mean, most teams, you know, when they'll go out in free agency or through the trade market, they will build a nice lineup and a nice starting rotation, but we'll forget everything else. They actually built an entire 25-man roster.
Just think about the Epstein legacy here with Boston, what he did at Boston, bringing Boston a world championship, two world championships, in fact, and now trying to do the same with Chicago.
He'll be one of the few executives to be in the Hall of Fame, because there are not many.
There's only a handful of executives
in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
If the Cubs win the World Series, just waive any type of waiting period and just put them in the day after they win the World Series. Just put them in.
They could do that.
If he breaks both curses, my goodness.
My goodness, yes. A man could name his price.
Right.
And
if the Cubs
to go next, maybe the Blues should hire him.
There you go.
Poor Jed Hoyer. Nobody talks about Jed Hoyer, the general manager who's been there for both. I think he was with Boston during the time, too. Just not a GM.
If the Cubs win the World Series this year, Mrs. O'Leary's cow will have nothing on the city of Chicago. They will burn it to the ground. Burn it to the ground.
They'll celebrate for a while.
They will have a good time.
Were any of our coaches that we just talked to Cubs fans?
Chad Easterday's a Cubs fan.
Okay. Well, what's he going to be doing when he's trying to get the playoff pairings?
He's going to be taking care of the playoff.
He'll take care of the playoff. He's got DVR.
Okay.
Just stay off Saturday is out of time. We'll have the Road to Champaign Monday night, 7:03, here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. For David, Terry Tote, Tim Mize, we are done.